Well, good morning, this wonderful Palm Sunday morning. We're going to continue with our praises of Hosanna this morning. This is a song by Paul Baluche and Brenton Brown.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are swept away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hear the sounds of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. The God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
It was a most unusual request. Jesus and the disciples had come to the outskirts of Jerusalem. When Jesus asked two of them to go and find a donkey, something was up. Why did Jesus need a donkey? A donkey was a beast of burden or a mode of transportation. What burden did Jesus need to carry? As far as we know, Jesus was a man of very few possessions. And why would Jesus need to ride on a donkey? Jesus, like most people, walked everywhere he went. People were used to walking back then. They were probably better for it. All the exercise they got, they'd walk 20, 30 miles a day. And here they were on the outskirts of Jerusalem, scarcely 2 miles to go. Why would Jesus need a donkey? Well, Matthew tells us it was to fulfill the prophecy from the Old Testament, from the prophet Zechariah. And Matthew quotes the prophet. Matthew, among the gospel writers, wants us to understand that Jesus' life and ministry was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And here we see that Jesus is riding on a donkey, not because his feet were tired or to get a better view of the city, but to send a message to the people, "Your king is coming." Now, of the four gospel writers, as I said, Matthew is the one that most focuses on the Old Testament and showing how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And that might explain why Matthew mentions two donkeys instead of one. Mark, Luke, John all mention Jesus riding on one animal. And here Matthew talks about two, a donkey and the foal of a donkey. We need not imagine that Jesus was riding astride two animals like some circus performer. There probably was one animal he was riding on. It may have been, as the author of our Lent Bible study book indicates, it may have been that the mother donkey went along to keep the colt, the younger animal, in line, to keep the colt, younger animal quiet and more cooperative. But Matthew wants us to see that this is fulfilling that prophecy from Zechariah. The prophecy itself was somewhat unusual. Normally, when a king would enter the capital city, the king would come riding on a magnificent white horse as a sign of victory. And this is almost a contradiction in terms. We have this king entering the city on a humble animal. It was a sign of humility for the king to enter on a donkey. And so we have Jesus fulfilling the scripture and sending a message to the people. Your king is coming. And apparently some of them got it. According to the New Testament scholar Joachim Jeremias, about 30,000 people resided in Jerusalem at that time. But during the Passover festival, pilgrims would come from all over the region, swelling the city by some 125,000. So imagine a city of 30,000 suddenly welcoming 125,000 guests into the city. And there would have been people everywhere. Jesus knew this, and so he was sending a message, and some of them got it. Some of them understood what this message was. Some of them maybe had read the Old Testament, and they remembered that prophecy from Zechariah, and began to get excited about Jesus entering the city in such a symbolic and meaningful way. And so they began to spread the road with their coats and even cutting branches from the trees and laying them on the road, as well as waving the branches in the air. Again, Matthew tells us that this was a prophetic act when they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna was a word with two meanings. The first meaning was a prayer for help. God help us. And the second was a word of praise. Praise God. And so as they shouted Hosanna, they were calling for God to help, but also praising God for sending the king into the city. We call it Palm Sunday because, according to John's gospel, the leafy branches they spread on the road and waved in the air were palm branches. Surprisingly, Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell us what kind of branches they were. But John tells us they were palm branches. And actually, the palms are really a minor part of the story. The most important part of the story is Jesus coming into Jerusalem as a king. The most important part of the story is Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey as the king. The most important part of the story is Jesus coming to Jerusalem on a donkey in humility as the king. He was sending a message about what kind of king he would be. And this king, whom they proclaimed with shouts of Hosanna, in less than a week would be betrayed and arrested and deserted and tried and mocked and tortured and killed. The New Testament scholar William Barclay says that this story conveys three things about Jesus. First of all, it shows us the courage of Jesus. For this was a provocative act, a public act, an act that placed Jesus in harm's way. Jesus knew that there were people out to get him, powerful people. And he knew that by coming into the city on such a dramatic way, amongst the crowds with the acclaim, he knew that he would draw attention to himself, not just from the crowds, but from the authorities who were out to get him. And he knew that that would be putting a target on his back. And so it shows the courage of Jesus that he was not afraid to die. Barclay says it also shows the claim of Jesus that he was coming into the city to claim his rightful place as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, as the King. But Barclay said it also shows a third factor. It shows the appeal of Jesus, and his appeal was not to round up an army, not to mount an armed rebellion, but he came to be a different kind of king, not a king who would sit on the throne, but a king who would take his place in human hearts. He came not in pomp and power, but in humility and in peace. And the cloaks and palm branches they spread on the road would be the road that would lead him to the cross. Back in 1965, an Anglican priest named Father Alan Talbot was sent as a missionary to the African nation of Tanzania. And Father Talbot, once he came to Tanzania, began to work in the villages around the town of Masasi, became aware of the extreme poverty of the people that he was seeking to reach. Became concerned not just about their spiritual well-being, but about their physical well-being as well. And he developed an idea to supplement the income of these people who are basically subsistence farmers. His idea was for the people to harvest palm leaves from the dwarf palm plant, to dry the leaves out, and then to fashion the leaves into a palm cross. And the idea was that these palm crosses would be sold in churches for use on Palm Sunday, and the sale of the crosses would help supplement the income of the people. This was back in 1965. In 1976, the women of St. John's Episcopal Church in Olney, Maryland, took it as their mission project to sell and distribute these palm crosses that were made in the seven mud villages around the town of Masasi in Tanzania, to distribute and sell the crosses through in churches throughout the United States. This was 1976. And the idea was that after the crosses were sold, that the net proceeds would be sent back to Tanzania and other places in Africa for community development and self-help projects. Up to $5,000 would be granted for humanitarian aid to specific projects such as education and health and clean water and agricultural development and HIV/AIDS education and famine relief and refugee relief. Humanitarian projects in Africa would be the beneficiary of the net proceeds from the sale of these palm crosses. And since 1976, some $2 million has been sent back to Africa to provide support for these community development projects in Tanzania and in other places as well. Well, the sale of the palm crosses really helps in two ways. One, the people who make the crosses get paid for the crosses they make. And typically, this is like a cottage industry. Typically, it's done house by house. People will take the palm leaves and they'll bend them into crosses while they're at home. Or some who are out guarding the cashew crop from baboons will fashion the crosses while they're guarding the crops. And they receive payment for the crosses that they've made throughout the year. They use the money for household items, for bicycles, for transportation, for fees, for their school fees for their children. Very practical help given by making these palm crosses out of the dried leaves of the dwarf palm plants. The plants themselves are readily available. There are forests nearby. They only take the leaves. They leave the trees intact, so the trees are not harmed and they can produce more leaves. No chemicals are used. It's a wholly organic process, environmentally friendly. And the people receive money for the crosses they make. And then the second way to help is that when the crosses are sold here in the U.S., the net proceeds are sent back to Africa for these community development projects. Well, when I read about the project and read about African Palms U.S. some years ago, we began to order these palm crosses for our use on Palm Sunday, knowing that the proceeds would go toward a good cause. But as I was reflecting upon it, it occurred to me that the palm leaf itself, that dried palm leaf itself, is of very little value. In fact, the leaf itself is almost worthless. After all, they get it for free off the palm trees that grow in the forest. But once that dried palm leaf has been bent and fashioned into a cross, the value grows beyond measure. Not necessarily the monetary value, but the spiritual value of what that palm cross represents. Is that not a parable of what Jesus has done for us? The difference the cross makes in our lives. The value of the cross for people such as us. Not a monetary value, but a spiritual value that gives hope and peace and life. We call it Palm Sunday, but really the palms are just a small part of it. The real meaning of this day is the King has come, not to rule from a throne, but to die on a cross for our sins. And through his death, God gives us life. Hosanna. God help us. Hosanna. Praise God. Our Father, we know the story so well because every year we celebrate Palm Sunday and we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And we remember the people waving their palm branches and spreading their cloaks on the road and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But it's more than just a story of long ago. It's a story that reaches into our lives right now. For Jesus comes as the King for us. And when we welcome him into our hearts, we receive life and hope and peace and love. Help us in these coming days, O God, to welcome again the Lord, the King, our Savior Jesus. Hosanna, God help us. Hosanna, praise God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a closing song. And it might be there's someone here today who'd want to make a decision regarding your own relationship to God. Maybe you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus and followed him as a believer in baptism. We would offer you that opportunity today. We'll be having a service of believers' baptism the Sunday after Easter, just in a couple of weeks. So you could be baptized on the basis of your faith. Or maybe you've made that commitment already, but you're not a part of this church family and you want to unite with us as we seek to serve God together in this place. We'd welcome that decision as well. I invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing song, You Have Purchased Us.